Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. We'd like to start our welcome ceremony. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very, very busy, wonderful day today. If you can take your seats, we'll begin our program. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce ICANN Board Chair, Dr. Stephen Crocker.
Well, it's great to be here. Singapore is a special place. You'll hear much, we'll say much about it. I want to welcome you to ICANN's 49th public meeting in this amazing city. I want to start by acknowledging two very special people who are with us today, Dr. Yaacob Ibrahim, Singapore's Minister of Communications and Information. Mr. Leong Ken Tai, Deputy Chief Executive and Director General of Infocom Development Authority of Singapore, or IDA, and Chairman of SGNIC. We'll hear more from these gentlemen in a few minutes. First, I need to tell you that being here in this room gives me a sense of deja vu.
President and CEO, to implement the new GTLD program. All those in favour of authorising the CEO to implement the new GTLD program, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
This was the formal approval by the Board of Directors of ICANN just under 3 years ago in June 2011 here of the new top-level domain, generic top-level domain program. Let me ask, I don't know if I can see through these lights, but how many of you were here then? A lot of hands. And you're still come back. This is very good news. That was a big day for us. It was the culmination of an enormous amount of work. The board's action was really the smallest, almost infinitesimal part of the whole process. an awful lot of work went into this. Let me ask for another video here is going to come up and tell you a bit more. Because we had a few concerns.
Your appointment as the new chair and with the historic passage of the new GTLDs, what sort of new challenges lie ahead for you?
This is a very big operation, and so I'm now in the uncomfortable position of trying to sit astride and hang on for dear life, as it were. The challenge, the real challenge, is for the organization as a whole to execute on moving this GTLD program forward, as well as carrying on the regular day-to-day business that it's already has to do, and the affirmation and commitment. So there's a kind of a triple there. And there will be both resource and execution challenges for the well-defined parts of the program, and there will be unanticipated problems or oddball cases or loose ends that have to be dealt with. And so there'll be a certain amount of refinement that will be posed to us while we're trying to get on with the main work.
I'm hearing you say that the board's work with new GTLDs is not finished.
I don't want to make too big a deal of it, but there's always something that's going to come up. And we're not going to go to sleep and say, we're done, it's all over with. I imagine we're going to be pretty embroiled on a continuing basis.
Yeah, loose ends indeed. Turns out I was being overly cautious. The rollout was absolutely smooth, no problem whatsoever. We had to increase our vocabulary a little bit, and in one case we actually found a word that was not an acronym, it's a glitch. For entertainment, we created a new sport called digital archery, which we abandoned after we learned that all the arrows were coming right into the board and the staff. In the end, the program rolled out. We now have almost 200 names in the already delegated into the route, and more coming on a very regular basis. And it marked a historic change, which we're all aware of. But that historic change wasn't just, as I was suggesting earlier, due to the board. It really was a very broad community action. And so let me ask that you give yourselves a hand for the enormous activity and energy and success of that program. While we're doing great things, we also have an inescapable and abiding commitment to operate in the highest fashion that we can. We take accountability and transparency extremely seriously. And so in that vein, I want to commend the work of the second accountability transparency review team led by Brian Cute. The report of his team was turned in last December, and in accordance with the rules that we set up for these reviews, we are now in the six-month period of examining the recommendations very closely, trying to understand what the impact would be, so that when we say yes, which I fully expect we will do, either wholly or in the main, we will know exactly what we have said yes to and exactly how to proceed with the implementation. So we're in the process of formulating a response to the team's report, and we'll say more about this in a session on Wednesday morning, which I invite you all to come to, but I invite you with a certain conflict of interest, because exactly parallel to that is a session on my long-standing interest and support for DNS security. So divide yourselves in two, and half of you go to that, to one and the other. Later this afternoon, there will be a session that is focused on the slightly broader topic of the affirmation of commitments in general, and which is all the more important in the context that has now been set with the historic announcement by Secretary Strickling a week ago about the transition of the stewardship of the technical functions of the IANA function. been a long-time goal of the U.S. government, as well as the rest of the community, that's now been realized because of ICANN's successful globalization and our collaborations with our partners in the internet ecosystem. And this is something that needs to be emphasized at every opportunity. ICANN, as visible as we have become, and I've learned the hard way that there's no way that we're going to be able to lessen that visibility, remains but one player in a complex and well-established ecosystem. So I want to acknowledge the leaders of the other members of the ecosystem. We have the leaders of the regional internet registries, Adil Akplogan, CEO of Afrinic, John Curran, President and CEO of Aaron, Raul Echeverria, CEO of LACNIC, Axel Pollock, Managing Director of RIPE NCC, and Paul Wilson, CEO of APNIC. Those are the regional internet registries. Thank you, but there's more. Hold the applause. On the highly technical side of creating the technology that is the underpinnings of everything here, Russ Housley, Chair of Internet Architecture Board, Yari Arco, Chair, Internet Engineering Task Force. And all important are friends, partners, and soulmates at the Internet Society, Catherine Brown, President and CEO, Bob Hinden, my counterpart, Board of Trustees Chair, Internet Society. Where'd he go? All right. Well, even though I don't see him here, we're on good terms, actually. He's I don't think he's standing up. We know how to reach each other. Now, referring again to the historic announcement of NTI, let me acknowledge the presence of Larry Strickling, Assistant Secretary for Communications and Information at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Larry, thank you very much. ICANN is defined by the multi-stakeholder model. And you may recall that in Buenos Aires, we announced the creation of a multi-stakeholder ethos award for community volunteer work. That's been embraced by our supporting organizations and advisory committees, and we expect to announce the winner of that award at our next meeting in London. The ethos award is not the only recognition that we have planned, and in a few minutes you'll hear about another prestigious award involving the Asia region. But first, I would like to express our appreciation to Dr. Yaacob Ibrahim, Singapore's Minister of Communications and Information, for the hospitality and warm greeting that we are receiving in Singapore. Dr. Yaacob. Come on up.
Thank you very much. Dr. Stephen Crocker, Chairman of the ICANN Board, Mr. Fadi Chehadi, President and CEO of ICANN, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning to all of you and welcome to sunny Singapore. It is indeed my pleasure to join you at the 49th ICANN public meeting today. Singapore is indeed honored to host this event again, and let me again extend a warm welcome to all of you here to Singapore. The global IT industry is growing, and in January this year, IT research and advisory company Gartner predicted that worldwide spending on IT and telecoms will total US $3.8 trillion. This is a 3.1% increase from 2013 spending. And in Singapore, the projected IT spending in 2014 is forecasted to exceed US $20 billion. And this is an increase of almost 4.4% over 2013. We're also seeing an exponential growth in data. According to research company IDC, The worldwide data market will reach a revenue of US$23.8 billion in 2016. Individuals are also consuming data at a far greater scale. And a study by the University of California, San Diego, stated that by 2015, next year, the amount of media content that an average US citizen consumes in a day, excluding their time spent in their workplace, would average slightly over 15 hours a day. And that is equal to 6.9 million gigabytes of information per person per day. So I'm sure that this estimate is applicable in Singapore as well. About 84% of Singapore's households have access to broadband. Our mobile penetration rate stands at 156%. And the majority of these mobile subscribers have at least a 3G connection, and 24% are already on a 4G connection. So in terms of business use of the internet, 80% of enterprises in Singapore have broadband connectivity, with about 46% having a web presence. Singapore is therefore nationally concerned about the security, usability and stability of the internet. ICANN plays an important role in addressing these challenges. And in today's connected world, the internet has become a fundamental utility to both businesses and individuals. It is necessary that cybersecurity be an important priority to ensure that the internet continues to be a safe and secure place for users. Some of you may have known that Singapore was faced with an unprecedented cyber threat last year, where both government and businesses were the targets of DDoS attacks, attempts, website defacements, and data breaches. We responded firmly and quickly, and we have been stepping up our Infocom security measures. Our measures are multi-layered and constantly updated to meet the changes in technological risks. But even as we enhance our systems and capabilities, businesses and individuals must also do their part to ensure that they take the necessary precautions to protect themselves. It is thus vital for the government, businesses, and individuals to be more vigilant and further strengthen the security of our Infocom infrastructure and systems. We recognize that we need to build up our pool of Infocom security professionals and develop their competencies. Only then can we better mitigate cyber threats and provide a trusted and secure online environment for businesses and individuals where our personal data is safeguarded against unauthorized use and disclosure. Since the last ICANN meeting here in 2011, Singapore has introduced the Personal Data Protection Act, or the PDPA. The PDPA, which took effect on the 2nd of January this year, aims to protect individuals' personal data against misuse while promoting proper management of personal data in organizations. It requires that organizations collecting, using, and disclosing personal data notify their consumers of the purposes of such data activities and seek the consent of these individuals. This gives individuals better control over the disclosure of their personal information and at the same time enables businesses to gain consumers' trust and confidence. As a baseline law, the PDPA ensures a common standard for the protection of individuals' personal data and will be administered concurrently with other sectoral, legislative, and regulatory frameworks in Singapore. This is important for us as Singapore seeks to retain our competitive edge and strengthen our position as a trusted business hub. Given the utility of the internet, we have also taken steps to make important telecom services, such as broadband internet, more accessible and affordable to the different segments of our population. So, for example, through the new PC Plus program, and new is spelled NEU, we help students from low-income households own a brand new computer at a subsidized price with free broadband connection. The Infocom Accessibility Center has been set up to help those who are physically challenged learn ICT skills. Under the Silver Infocom Initiative, we provide affordable Infocom training and customized curriculum for senior citizens, including myself. See my hair? I understand that our digital inclusion efforts are a matter of interest to attendees of ICANN and will be very happy to share more about them. Many areas of our work are carried out through collaboration and the sharing of best practices. We will continue with the various stakeholders to ensure the stability, security, and the continued usability of the internet. And on this point, I would like to congratulate ICANN for successfully setting up two regional hubs last year, one in Istanbul, Turkey, and the other here in Singapore. It underscores ICANN's commitment to serve the global community. And I believe that the Asia-Pacific hub in Singapore will be a great vehicle for ICANN to reach out to the region, and would like to commend the work it has done thus far in disseminating information and also offering assistance to ICANN on ICANN's initiatives and services to the countries around us. So I believe it is important that ICANN continues to organize these conferences and meetings as they provide opportunities for members to share perspectives and allow for us to develop a better understanding of both the challenges and the opportunities. So in particular, I understand that the first community-wide dialogue on the development of transitional process to transfer the stewardship of administering changes to the domain name system and unique identifiers registries to a global community will be held this week. Singapore is committed to such a multi-stakeholder approach. This global body must continue to preserve the speed of decision-making processes, be relevant and responsive to industry and consumer needs, and be able to look long-term. It should also preserve the inclusive nature of the internet to the global community. So on this note, let me wish everyone here a fruitful dialogue, a good week of discussions ahead, and do enjoy the sights and sounds of Singapore. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Yacob. You made reference to see your hair. I wish I could say the same. My reaction, frankly, was it's good to know that the future is in such good hands of the next generation coming up. So I'm pleased to see that youth is progressing well. I'd like to now introduce Quek, ICANN's Vice President and Managing Director of our Asia-Pacific region, who is located here. In the 8 months since he's been at ICANN, Quek has dramatically increased ICANN's presence and reach in this vital region, and now oversees Singapore Hub Office for ICANN. Quek?
Thank you, Steve. A very good morning, everyone. As Steve mentioned, my name is Quek, and I'm proud to be ICANN staff based right here in the region. And as a Singaporean, please let me echo Minister Yacob's warm welcome to everyone. Again, a very warm welcome to Singapore. We have almost 2,000 people in the room today, and I think when we had the flashback video, we have come to the realization that many are repeat offenders and people come back again and again. Why do we spend so much time in darkened rooms like this to debate internet policies in such an intense fashion? It is my personal belief after joining the ICANN family that it is driven by a fundamental belief that the internet, one interoperable internet, empowers people and enriches lives. I think it is thus timely for us at this stage to take a step back before we begin on another couple of days of intense discussions to showcase remarkable individuals that have harnessed internet technologies to better lives in the region. So it is in this spirit that I introduce the ISIF awardees. ISIF stands for the Information Society Innovation Fund, and this really is a project that is flourishing under the leadership and secretariat services of APNIC, so we are profiling the work of our friends here. We have a video to tell you more about ISIF.
The ISIF Award recognized important contributions to ICT innovation across four categories. code for the common good.
ECHO is basically an integrated platform for internet and mobile solution, and it is a collaborative tool where one person can coordinate unlimited number of people in a diverse location for specific activities with just one click, two clicks, and there's an automatic report that can give you summaries of numbers and yes and no, so you can use it for surveys, you can use it to coordinate events, training, donations, production change, and many other innovative use depend on the nonprofit organization's social mission. About 6 years ago, we had this proposal project called Salam Wanita, where we train women to make baskets from newspaper, magazine flyers. We thought of saving our telephone expenses and staff time and make it more efficient so that we don't lose customers, because our women work from home. And we asked IT companies, could you do something like this where we can do something on the email and the women will receive something in the cheapest way possible without them subscribing to internet. We asked software company whether they can develop something with internet and SMS and MMS, and nobody could do it. In fact, people even laugh at us for thinking about something like that. So we thought to ourselves, maybe we should come up with something like that. It has been a long journey, but it is worth it.
During the ISIF Asia Awards social media campaign.
Hajj Locator is an interactive and monitoring system for Hajj pilgrim, and we're ready to serve people who are doing Hajj. The purpose is to, the first one is peace of mind, reduce worry, because people worry if their family goes to Hajj, and then we want to have the capability to monitoring them from day one until they go back to his country. In the same time, the family members who go there, especially for men and female, and they're going to be separated. And then when they go out, they're going to have like in the crowded area. And then they're going, they need to find where is his family member. The second purpose is to save a life, because according to the statistic from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, around 30 people die every day, especially elderly. And then we provide the mechanism SOS button inside of the mobile, and then the elderly can just press it, the SOS button, theoretically in 10 minutes time somebody will come and help them.
Innovation, learning and localization.
Low income and rural student in South Asia has limited knowledge of English. They do not have access to quality education. How we can provide top quality education at a very low cost to the millions of students in a rural area at Bangladesh and India? Education become a business product in our present world, but we often forget that education is the right for human. In this context, Shikhok.com is providing ultra-low-cost education material to the rural unprivileged students in local language, Bengali. At Shikhok.com, volunteer teachers included researchers, educators, professionals, and experts various fields who are spread all across the world. Till now, in 14 months, we provided 2 million lectures delivered to the rural Bangladesh and India. Shikhok.com is a platform to provide the education material from the educators to the rural people who are not have access good quality of education materials in their local language. Shikhok.com is providing a social interaction by using YouTube, Facebook, Twitter to communicate with the teachers and the students as well.
We congratulate the ISIT Award winners and trust that the support received will help them to continue their journey, innovating and addressing the needs in the Asia-Pacific region through creative ICT solutions. As proud members of the SEED Alliance, we are committed to help ideas to grow, so we are continuously seeking for new partners, sponsors, and supporters to be part of the continuation and evolution of ISIF Asia. If you're interested to support ISIF Asia, please contact the ISIF Secretariat at info@isif.asia.
I'm very happy today that we have the ISIF Award winners with us. I'm not sure if I can identify them right now. We have Mrs. Chong, if you can stand up so we can identify you, Teddy and Mashur. Okay, maybe, can we see them? Maybe they're a little bit, right here. Teddy is right here, looking too far. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Brass Bazaar Room, all three award winners will be sharing their experiences. So if you're interested in their projects and if you want to exchange ideas for what are the things that you can bring to your community, please join them at the Brass Bazaar Room at 10 o'clock tomorrow. On the theme of youth that has been discussed earlier on as well, I also want to make a special call out to a new pilot that we're starting at the Singapore meeting. It's called the Next Gen at ICANN Pilot, where we bring tertiary students from across the region to join us. They are the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed friends we have wearing green T-shirts at the back of the room. Participants of Next Gen, if I can shout out to us, stand up and shout out to us. So we're really hoping that, you know, in the inclusive nature that we do things here, that we can have pilots like this to bring fresh perspectives and new ideas to the table. So if you see them, be nice, say hi to them. And with that, I want to return the floor to Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to go off script here for a second. Fadi and I, watching these, were completely blown away by the magnitude of the accomplishments and the importance of the reach that the internet has had in providing opportunities in every corner of the world. It caused me to flash back to 45 years ago, on the eve of putting the first node on the ARPANET at UCLA, where we happened to be. And we had been for a few months laying out the basic sketch. Architecture is too broad a word, too strong in a way, but the image of what we expected. And one of the key things that was uppermost in our minds was all that could be accomplished and how little we were going to be able to specify it in detail. And so the most important thing was to lay the foundation for an open system that would allow openness in several dimensions, openness from a technical perspective to build new things on top of the framework that we're designing, and openness to permit people from every quarter of the world to enter and participate, so that it was not a fully specified closed system to hand it down from one group to another. And the kind of initiatives that you've just seen are the embodiment of what we had hoped for. It is one of the most fulfilling experiences to be able to see the long arc from those initial days where there were a handful of us in the room to these kinds of initiatives many years later. So I'm humbled and very, very impressed, and I congratulate the winners. So thank you, Quek. This is what keeps us going. Now it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Leong King Tai, Deputy Chief Executive and Director General of the Infocom Development Authority of Singapore, or IDA, and Chairman of SGNIC. Mr. Leong, thank you for your support for our Singapore 49 meeting.
Minister Yaakob, Dr. Steve Crocker, Fadi, ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning. And first of all, let me join Minister Yaakob again to welcome everyone to Singapore. Well, according to the Boston Consulting Group's report on greasing the wheels of the internet economy, and this was commissioned by ICANN, there are basically four types of friction that prevent countries from realizing the internet's full potential. They are infrastructure-related friction, industry-related friction, individual friction, and information-related friction. But the greatest significance of all was attributed to infrastructure-related friction in the report. On this front, Singapore has invested heavily in the past decade to enhance ourselves as a hub of Asia for the internet connectivity, with an extensive network of submarine cable systems connecting us to all the key global markets. Within Singapore, our next generation nationwide broadband network, which is our fibre to the home rollout completed last year, offers ultra high speed fibre broadband connectivity of up to 1 gigabit per second to over 95% of homes and businesses in Singapore. The competition amongst retail service providers has brought the price of 1 gigabit per second to less than US$40 per month for the consumer. Such an infrastructure is essential as it supports the development and delivery of innovative digital services to homes, schools, and businesses. For businesses, the high-speed fiber broadband will lower connectivity costs for data centers and boost throughput. As a result of our connectivity to the world, Singapore is host to some 7,000 multinational companies who use Singapore as a hub to support their work in Asia. And of course, ICANN is one. Looking ahead, having good ICT infrastructure is almost taken as a given and is foundational for any economy. I think what has become the new significance is how countries use data, make sense of data, and apply them to new possibilities. Many jurisdictions have named this capability smart cities. For Singapore, being a small city state, our ambition is to be a smart nation. For this to happen, we must now invest in new fields and areas like data and analytics, and to formulate policies that enable machine-to-machine interaction and the Internet of Things. This also requires new skills and new talents, which are not only hard to come by, but takes time to educate. We have to start. In June last year, a memorandum of intent with Palo Alto Networks was signed to establish the Palo Alto Network Innovation Center and to grow the pool of information security professionals needed to support a data analytics hub. In addition, the IDA has also partnered Google on the Squared Data Program last year or this year, which provides training to aspiring analytics professionals. Other initiatives have also been undertaken to develop Singapore's data capabilities, including releasing government data sets to encourage the public and the industry to capitalize on the numerous opportunities that data has to offer. A portal called data.gov.sg was developed in 2012, where more than 8,700 publicly available data sets from over 60 public agencies were made available to the public to create applications or to conduct research. In a world where the internet is the backbone for economic activity, for leisure, for information, and for the better quality of life, ICANN has such an important role to play to ensure that the internet continues to work and continues to provide. To this end, ICANN must continue working on global internet policies and governance through its multi-stakeholder approach, where governments, industry, and civil society work together to shape the development of the internet. The ICANN strategy panels encapsulate this approach and will serve as an integral part of a framework for cross-community dialogue to solve such global issues. We have already seen success from such a multi-stakeholder approach in the development of ICANN's GTLT program, which came to fruition after many years of hard work, and this involved several groupings collaborating and working together painstakingly and tirelessly. We also had the GAC provide inputs to the whole process. I still remember the ICANN board giving its approval to the program right here in Singapore back in June 2011. And it is heartening to see that right now, several GTLDs have been launched, with some others coming. Similarly, the upcoming Net Mundial meeting in Sao Paulo in April will bring together a whole range of government, business, technical community, civil society, and academic participants from around the world who will be discussing internet governance principles, as well as proposing a roadmap for the future evolution of the internet governance ecosystem. Governments, as one key stakeholder, will have to develop and implement policies that continue to ensure a high availability of access to a safe and secure internet. Singapore believes in the multi-stakeholder approach, given the breadth and expanse of internet governance. We therefore welcome the recent announcement by the United States Department of Commerce, NTIA, to launch a process to transit and transfer stewardship of its internet responsibilities to a global community. These responsibilities include administering changes to the domain name system's authoritative root zone file, as well as serving as the steward for the registries for domain names and IP addresses. This is a milestone in the development of the internet, and the discussions at this meeting in Singapore will be critical to the way ahead. I'm sure the discussions will be highly engaging and will bring about innovative proposals to consider. We look forward to working with the global internet community on this in this week ahead. I wish everyone a successful meeting and a pleasant time in Singapore. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leung. And thank you for your support, for your endorsement, and let me congratulate you on the enormous success that you've documented here in Singapore. Speaking as an American, I now understand that I live in a developing country. And I think that we need to learn from you. And so let me ask you to start sending emissaries to the U.S. so that we can improve our infrastructure. $40 a month for a gigabit of service sounds pretty good to me. It's my pleasure to introduce Fadi Shahadi. He's our president and CEO. He does me the honor of calling me his boss. I feel ever more like a student watching the magic that he brings to our operation, to our community. But most importantly, boss or student, he's my friend, and it's an honor and a pleasure to introduce Fadi.
Okay. Minister Yaqub, thank you again for being with us. Thanks for welcoming us here. Chairman Leong, thank you very much for your words, your support to us as well. Assistant Secretary Strickling, thank you. Thank you for being with us here today. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, friends, today is indeed a special day. But let me start with some facts. A year ago, I came to Asia, and frankly, I found no other way to explain our presence in Asia but to apologize to Asia. And I did. I made an apology because we were almost non-present here. A year later, we have 14 people in the region. We have a hub. We have local services. We have translation of content in local languages. We have transformed our presence in Asia, and there's more to come. This is the commitment of ICANN. We're going to the world, as we said a year and a half ago, and this is already happening. And you will see these maps building around the world, because if we stay in Los Angeles, as I said on the first day, then we are not the world's ICANN. To become the world's ICANN, we have to go to the world. Today, people in China can pick up the phone, and we will answer them in Chinese and explain to them how they can participate in ICANN. Same with many other Asian cultures and languages. That was not possible a year ago. It is possible now. And thank you, Kwek, personally, for the superb work you've done. You are now a reference model to how we need to work across the world. Thank you. And in that hub today, we have people from the Global Domain Names Division that can support our registries and registrars and applicants in this region. We have people from the compliance team so that we can understand the needs of the region and how to support them. We have people that support our core mission of security, stability, and resiliency now based here in Asia across the region. And finally, and most importantly, we have many people. Those who are in light blue are not in the hub. They're in the region. They're across the cities and countries of this vast area, supporting our engagement capabilities, building capacities, and bringing people into the structures of ICANN so that we can enlarge our family. This is the second year in our new season. When I started at ICANN, I said we have to till the ground, get things ready, and then hopefully we can get to the point in this new season to see the fruit of our work. However, at this point in our second year, which is about halfway through my first tenure here, or my tenure with you for the 3 years that the board asked me to come and serve you, I stop a little bit. And I think we should all stop and take stock. A lot is going on. A lot is on our minds. We're looking at the work we've done and saying there's a lot on our plate. But it is an important time for us to step back here in Singapore and think what is on hand, what is ahead of us, and what we need to do to stay engaged and to be successful in the phase ahead. So to take stock, I asked my team to engage with our community and to really take a community view as to everything that is going on at ICANN. And to do that, we decided we're going to create kind of a community activities map so we can start understanding everything on hand that needs to be addressed across the community. And we divided all of these things into these three spheres: the core ICANN activities, the emerging activities related to the globalization of ICANN and the globalization of the IANA functions, and then finally, our engagement on a global level in internet governance. Let me break this down with you. As we listened to you, it became clear that each of these three areas had many cross-community activities. Let's look at them one at a time. Let me start with our core operations. Within our core operations, we have six major tracks of work that engage all of us together. Again, I'm not speaking about the many, many areas of work and activities within our communities. I'm speaking about community-wide or cross-community activities. So in the Global Domains Division, we found that there are five key areas, one of which is about to start. That's why data privacy is still in white, but we're about to launch that effort because it's becoming important that we globally understand that. But let me focus your attention, for example, on the ATR2 area. As many of you know, we have a review mechanism that is cross-community, that is independent of ICANN, that comes in and basically looks at all of our activities to ensure that ICANN operates in an accountable and transparent way. The ATRT team came back to us with 50-plus recommendations in order to take ICANN to the next level of accountability and transparency. We must focus on these things, as my chairman said, and make sure we deliver on them for the global community so that ICANN is always viewed as an accountable, transparent organization. Another area of activity you would know is all the efforts like Quex and his colleagues under Sally Costerton and Tarek Kamel related to engagement. We have three levels of engagement that are intense right now. We have regional engagement strategies that have been built from the bottom up with our communities that we need to put in place. We have global engagement activities in the areas like business. We now have a business function under engagement. We were recently at the GSMA engaging with the mobile business community, bringing them on board, and built a very good set of bridges with them. These are important activities. And digital engagement. I promised you we will have a new website, and the next few days you will see the new ICANN website, and that website, again, for the first time, was built from the bottom up with the community. You were engaged in it, you helped us design it, and we built it together in order to deliver value to you in engagement. But we cannot forget all of our common activities to plan the year ahead. So we have operational planning and budget planning cycles that need to happen. And it is important. ICANN's operational core budget is close to $100 million now. So we have to do it together. We have to manage it together. We have to agree together how to direct our resources in order to meet our collective community-wide goals and objectives. Lots on the plate and lots to do. If I move to the next area, that's the ICANN and IANA globalization areas that just started for all of us. And as you recall, the board of directors of ICANN about a month ago issued a resolution in which they said that these are the five areas of ICANN globalization we need to focus on. The transitioning of the IANA stewardship, ICANN's own accountability as an organization, looking at our policy structures and how we can enhance them and make them more global, including the GAC, looking at our legal structure and how our legal structure can be globalized so it can serve the world, and finally, looking at the root system and ways to enhance it. These were the five initiatives, to a degree, that the board focused on, and in an effort to engage with the community, the board said we're going to create these advisory groups that will bring the community together to discuss them. Now, I have discussed the advisory groups with the board, and of course, since that discussion, something happened. The U.S. government announced that it will start the process of transitioning its stewardship to the community. As a result, we are discussing right now at the board, and hopefully this week while we're all together, the possibility of removing all these advisory groups and instead focusing all of our attention now on the areas that need our attention through public consultation. So we will continue discussing this with you through the week, and hopefully together we'll make the right decision so we focus everyone, given also how much is on our plate, on the two key areas we need to focus on. Now, let me talk about these two areas, because today we're going to start these two public consultations. The first one is about the IANA stewardship transition. This will be at 10:30, so immediately after this session, we will launch the global process of responding to the invitation of the U.S. government to transition their stewardship to us. To us and all the people that we need to bring, because it's not just to ICANN. ICANN is just facilitating, but it's truly to all of us, with many of the communities represented here and those that couldn't make it today. We need to bring them into that global process. Now, I want to tell you now that this public consultation is about IANA transition. But we have discussed now with the community, with the leaders, with the board, as well as with the US government, that we should also discuss how we're going to evolve ICANN's accountability as an organization. And let me separate these two very clearly. The IANA functions are very specific functions that are well-defined, and we do them together with other leaders in the community and communities. We need to discuss how to manage these functions specifically. Separate from that, as I've heard from many of you just in the last few days, who is going to keep the ICANN organization in check? Well, today we have something called the Affirmation of Commitment. But the Affirmation of Commitment, which is a very important document, central to who we are and how we function, is a document that today, through the historical record, was signed between ICANN and the US government. We as a community should look at that and should look more broadly at ICANN's accountability and discuss how do we evolve these mechanisms so that ICANN is kept accountable and in check. And that discussion will be today as well at 5 p.m. So I invite you all to join us at 5 p.m. for that discussion separate from the IANA discussion. I want to say something on the IANA transition. First and foremost, in the presence of NTIA's leadership here, I think we should all recognize, without question, the stewardship of NTIA, the stewardship of the United States over the last 15 years, which has served the internet and the world very well. And that recognition is important because it actually starts with the story that Dr. Crocker said when he speaks about them setting up their first little network with he and his friends and giving this to the world, keeping it open. What a powerful gift to the world that has continued with the progressively less onerous stewardship and more permissive stewardship to the community over the last 15 years. It is important for us to remember that the US government every few years said the ICANN community is readier now, so we're going to change the mechanisms and instruments of stewardship. Up to the point last Friday where NTIA came to the conclusion that we are ready. And this is a testament of our work. It's a triumph of the multi-stakeholder model, and it's a testament that the United States fulfilled its commitment, which they made on the first day ICANN was born, that when the ICANN and global community are ready, they will transfer the stewardship, and they did. So thank you. Now, the second thing I want to say about this is that they're not transferring the stewardship to ICANN. They're transferring the stewardship to all of us in this community who must work together, as we have for the last 15 years. This is nothing new. I don't have to learn to work with the IETF and with the RIRs and these organizations. We have worked together for 15 years. It's been working, thank you very much. We have an internet that generates trillions of dollars of value to the planet. This is all because of the work of the people who labor in the background to ensure that the technical infrastructure of the internet is built and is working. And to them, the US government gives the role of bringing the global community on how we're going to replace that stewardship. And we should, again, take that responsibility with great seriousness. Great seriousness. The eyes of the world are on us. Will the multi-stakeholder model rise as it has for the last 15 years and carry? And my answer to the world today is it will. And you will start seeing this today in how we take this responsibility seriously. So with this, let me move on with our activities. Back to ICANN. The last bit of activities we have is the circle of activities related to the internet governance. And as you know, many of us have been saying, why is ICANN spending so much time on global internet governance? We have a lot to do. And now with the US decision, we even have more to do. We have to globalize IANA, we have to globalize ICANN. So, I want to link things again as we did in Buenos Aires. We are a member of the internet governance ecosystem. We have a responsibility. Part of that responsibility is to protect ICANN in the sense that we continue to do the mission we have to maintain the security and stability of the internet and to do our job and to ensure that we're not constantly guarding from some kind of a threat. That's the first reason we do it. But the second reason we do it is that ICANN, at the end of the day, is rooted in its responsibilities to the public. That's what drives us. And therefore, we have a responsibility as well in the global internet governance. However, as you saw very well, I hope, the circle of that work is smaller than the other circles. It should be prioritized as such. It should be important. We will pay attention to it. But it should be prioritized, never ahead of the core work that you have entrusted us to do at ICANN. Now, in the global internet governance area, we have three streams of work. We have the global internet governance forums, we have the OneNet dialogue forum, and we have the panel that we have partnered with the WEF, the World Economic Forum, as well as with the University of Southern California, the panel chaired by President Ilves of Estonia. That panel will release its final report on its views of the future of internet governance in the month of May. And several of the panelists are here today, and I recognize Kathy Brown, the CEO of ISOC, and I think Olaf Kochman may be here, but he's also with us on that panel. Now, I want to spend, again, by the way, just like we did with the other advisory committees, the board is considering right now removing that advisory group so that we can focus on the cross-community working group that the community has put together and ensure that the discussion on internet governance is driven by you, by us, by the community, first and foremost. I want to spend a minute on something on a lot of our minds. Net Mundial. Net Mundial is one of the premier forums on internet governance that will occur this year. It will happen in Sao Paulo on the 23rd and 24th of April. We have received, I believe, thousands of interested participant applications. And the Brazilian government and CGI, who was entrusted with the management of the conference, are going through that work at the moment. As well as the fact that they have received 189 submissions on proposals to improve internet governance. Clearly, the world wants to focus on this issue. This issue is important. Why? And why is Net Mundial central to it? Net Mundial is where we will start charting a multi-stakeholder model of internet governance. It is the place to do it. It is not the place we want to spend too much time on ICANN and IANA. I think the decision of the US government, coupled with the processes we'll start today, are the venues and are the channels for discussing ICANN and IANA. Of course, people can discuss anything at an open multi-stakeholder conference, and they're welcome to discuss any subject. But we cannot miss the opportunity at Net Mundial to actually start looking at the broader internet governance issues. ICANN and its work, IANA and its work, are but a small piece of a vast mosaic of issues technical and non-technical, national and global and regional, that we must address in Net Mundial. So I urge all of us to participate, remotely or personally, in this important dialogue, and to ensure that we do not miss the opportunity to start charting forward how this world will come together to govern the internet. So a map we have, now what do we do? I urge all of us to go back into our stakeholder communities and take stock, look at all these tracks, look at all these activities, and focus our energies where we can add value. This is important. This is the important work of a community, to make priorities and to decide how we can all succeed, because frankly, many of these activities right now are all mutually and critically important to our success. It is very hard to pick and choose which ones to stop. Where we could, we did stop the advisory groups. Where we could, we didn't address every aspect of globalization, because we cannot do everything at once. So focus is important, and I welcome during the next 5 days dialogue and listening. We're going to all be engaged, so we make sure together that we focus and get this job done. Finally, I want to go back to some history. This is John Postel, the late John Postel. John, Vint Cerf, Bob Kahn, Steve Crocker, names of people who years ago used to manage the entire DNS on a small index card. John Postel had a little index card. That's how he managed the whole DNS. Today we have ICANN with hundreds of people, a community with thousands of people, and millions of dollars to do the job this great man did with immense commitment to the internet. But this is where it all started. And it started with our first meeting. By the way, ICANN's very first meeting was in Singapore. ICANN 1 was in Singapore. ICANN 1 was in Singapore. And together we traveled the world. We traveled the world. And we find ourselves here at ICANN 49, again in Singapore. Singapore has been a very important stop along the way. But the reason I show us this is to remind all of us that this has been a long road to this point. So when the US government decides it is time to trust us, that's because of all the work, starting with John, that has happened from day one until today. When reporters call me and they say, oh, it was because of this event or that event that this happened, I tell them my wife, who's a gardener and works and labors in her garden and tills it and composts and do all of that, if I tell her that because of yesterday's rain, her vegetables are growing well, she'll be upset. There's a lot more to what we do at ICANN than an event or a person. It's all of us. This is our work. We're here today to receive this great honor from the United States government and to show the world that the multi-stakeholder model works. It is incumbent upon us to show the world it does work. And we will show the world it does work through our actions, not just our words. It's how we start today, after this session, to engage with each other and to build processes with private sector, governments, and civil society, all of us together, building stewardship to take the internet to the next stage. So let's not miss this opportunity. Let's not miss this opportunity. And let's do it, never forgetting the principles that the US government put on the table, which I believe are good principles. And these are important for us to keep in mind as we start the next session. Number one, whatever we do to replace the U.S. stewardship must be rooted in the multi-stakeholder model. We cannot come back to them with a transition plan that hands our important work to a government, a group of governments, an intergovernmental organization. No, it will not work. Number two, The work, the transition model we design, must attend to the needs of the global community. Not any one part of the community, not any part of the world, all the global community. We must serve everyone with distinction and equally. That's the second condition the U.S. government put. The third condition the U.S. government put, that nothing we will come back with will jeopardize the openness of the internet. The internet we want, the internet Crocker and his friends designed. The same principles that they used to design the technical architecture of the internet should be used for designing the governance architecture of the internet. Openness is very key. And then lastly, the U.S. government made it very clear in this fourth principle that nothing we do should jeopardize the security, stability, and resiliency of the system we were entrusted to manage. And none of us want to see a nanosecond of interruption to that system. It drives the world. It's a global force for human development. It's a global force for the economy. It's entrusted for us to come up with that model. And Mr. Strickling, we will come back to you. With these conditions met, I have every confidence we will. Thank you. Thank you.
I hate following Fadi. Thank you very much. Thank you, Fadi. Thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this week's meeting. And as I said before, and as has been said by others, this is a historic time for ICANN, and we're glad you and we are all here to be part of it. With that, we bring this session to a close. And as Fadi said, among other things, at 10:30, another significant session will begin focused on the affirmation of commitments process and the evolution of that in light of the recent developments. Thank you all. Have a great week.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a coffee break outside in the foyer. And we will reset this room and prepare for the 10:30 meeting. Again, coffee break is outside in the foyer. Thank you.